Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. This morning, we're continuing our series called Blue Note Preaching, listening to stories that sing when it feels like God is quiet. This Sunday is also a special Sunday in the United Methodist Church called Announcement Sunday. This is the Sunday where churches share about the appointment of their pastor. In the United Methodist Church, we are an appointive and itinerant system, meaning that I only came here because the bishop told me to. And I said, sure thing, boss, and I'm now here. And every year, the bishop appoints pastors to where they are going to go. And every year, some folks get appointed to a new church. And I did not get appointed to a new church. I am very happy about that. Yep. Our SBR chair is in the congregation right now. Didn't know that I was going to announce this. And so I'm glad that he didn't try to sprint up here and say he is moving. But no, I'm here for another year. And I am grateful for that. And we can clap again. I'm so excited about that. Y'all, I never want to leave. But here's what's important to understand. The reason why every year I announce this, even if I'm not being appointed somewhere else, is to remind us that this church is not me. I love y'all so much. And you all love me and my family so well that I can't think about it too much or I'll start crying. But this church is not me. And one day the bishop will call. May it be in 20 years and say, someone else needs you somewhere else. And then this church will continue to thrive in beautiful ways. And you'll be like, that Pastor Matt, he was great. You'll forget my name is the joke there. But yes, another year and hopefully many, many more. I am so grateful for what we get to do here at this location and our new location off of Clubhouse Road. Glory to God. We're continuing our series called Blue Note Preaching, where we hear stories that sing when it feels like God is quiet. The whole conceit behind this series is learning from the tradition and the history and the beautiful art of Black American preaching. I'm reading a book right now called Blue Note Preaching. I didn't come up with the name for the sermon series that looks at what it means to preach in that tradition. I grew up in a predominantly white church, hearing predominantly white preachers preach in a predominantly white way where the story ended exactly the way you wanted it to. The cowboy rode off into the sunset. The guy got the girl. Everyone was happy and slappy by the time the benediction came. And friends, that's not life. Amen? Sometimes stories don't go the way that we want them to. And what I love about Black American preaching is a lack of fear over stories that don't end the way that we want them to. They don't always end the way that we want them to. And that's a little bit more like our lives. But last week, we learned from Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel. We learned that our sorrow doesn't scare God off. And our pain is never wasted, meaning that God is constantly using both the good things, the bad things, and every space in between, because God wastes nothing. And our lives, even when we feel like everything is going exactly the way that we don't want it to, God is still going to use that and make beautiful things out of it. Today, the number one thing I want you to hear, the thing I'm going to say a lot, the first thing you can write down is this: we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. I invite you to take your Bibles. If you have a paper Bible, use that. If you don't, take out your phone and Google Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible, but you use any Bible translation that makes sense to you. It's easy for you to read. But we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to the household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Woo! So if you've been raised in the church, if you've gone to Sunday school at least once, I hope that you've heard this story before. Maybe you even sang the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man." That's right. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord. He wanted to see. You got hand motions, right? That sign language that isn't really sign language that we all learned if you grew up in the church. This story was so impactful for us. We had a cat when I was a kid, and we named it Zacchaeus because we were those kind of Christians, right? But also because the cat, the first day we had it, climbed up a tree. We were like, well, at least we had a cat. He eventually came down, and Zacchaeus, or Zach as we called him, was our cat. This story is a great story to tell kids because it's got characters that are easy to follow. Three characters today I want us to focus on. Number one, obviously, the namesake, Zacchaeus. And then, as always, Jesus. Jesus is an important character in all of our stories. But the third character, I want you to look at the third character. If you still have your Bibles out, look at verse 7. Everyone. Everyone. This is the nameless they. This is what everyone is saying, how everybody feels. I don't know if you've ever heard gossip about yourself, but these are the ones that are spreading it, right, friends? So for those listening on the podcast, I'm using air quotes every time I say the word everyone. This might be a live stream one for you to watch, really visual today. But anyways, I digress. Everyone is the third character of this story, and the first one I want us to look at. Everyone knew that Zacchaeus was a bad person. Not only was he a tax collector, already a despised character, and yes, I now realize what tomorrow is. And if you don't know, I'm so sorry to tell you, but tomorrow is tax day. So maybe while I'm speaking, Google how to do your taxes very fast, if this is news to you. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And not only was he a tax collector, he was a leader amongst tax collectors. And he was a leader amongst tax collectors, not for the state of Israel, not for the people of Israel, not for the Galilean crown, but rather for the Empire of Rome. He was a Jewish person working for the Roman Empire, working to instill and empower a system of oppression. He was a bad guy. Of course, he was despised by everyone. Everyone knew everything they needed to know about Zacchaeus, and that was, he was the worst. No one liked Zacchaeus. Everyone knew that he was a bad person. Howard Thurman, a late Christian scholar, wrote a book called Jesus and the Disinherited. And it looked at Christian theology through the Black American lens towards systems of oppression that exist today, systems and structures that were mirrored in Jesus's time. And Howard Thurman talks a little bit about what Zacchaeus looks like in that context. Not only was Zacchaeus a guy that was collecting taxes and cheating people on those taxes as well, but he was also aligning himself with systems and structures of oppression. I say that to say that Zacchaeus represents to us in this story how in unjust systems, Jesus is in the business of grace-filled revolutions. We don't accept injustice, but we know that Christ redeems. You see, Zacchaeus existed in this system and structure that made everyday people enslaved to an empire that had no interest in treating them with rights and privileges. Zacchaeus worked in a system and structure that actually pushed people down, made it hard for them to live. That is who Zacchaeus is, and Jesus shows up for him. For the very worst amongst all the government officials, Jesus shows up for him because, friends, we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. So Zacchaeus' name, you know, I don't know if you were a parent, if you got one of those baby books with names, the names that tell you the meaning behind all of them. Michael is obviously a gift from God. That's also the meaning of my name. But Zacchaeus' name means the righteous one. And everyone would have laughed at Zacchaeus being known as the righteous one. Friend, Zacchaeus was a symbol of oppression for the people of Israel. And so when they saw Jesus with Zacchaeus, they knew in their heart of hearts, they knew in their whole self that Jesus was in the wrong place and the wrong time. But friends, we do this too, don't we? We see people that we have symbolized systems of oppression, things that bother us, things that seem unjust, things that seem out of place, and we see God at work in their lives, or we just know that God would never work in their lives. But friends, we cannot allow our scars to cover up what Christ can do in others. The scars that systems and structures or the way the world is that beats us down, tears us down, we cannot allow those scars to cover up what Christ can do in others. You see, our community, if we're doing our job as a church, our community needs to be changing, right? We need to see people feeling more connected. We need to see greater socioeconomic justice. We need to see greater connection between people, a decrease in injustice and a rise in justice. If we're doing our job as the church, we need to see that. But in that, we cannot allow our scars from the way things have gone wrong to cover up the way what Christ can do in others. It can cover our eyes. We have to not allow that. You see, because there was a glimmer of hope in Zacchaeus that everyone could not see. Everyone, this third character, everyone, couldn't possibly see the glimmer of hope that Zacchaeus had in his heart, the light that twinkled in his eye at the idea that God might have other plans for him. Everyone was blind to that, but not Jesus, because we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. All right, so I have some homework for you. Take your bulletins. You have a pen. Who do you know who could never be redeemed? So you have that there, but you also have a line. I want you to write a name on that line. And friends, I'm not just talking about your coworker. If your spouse is sitting next to you, don't write their name. And I'm not talking about just people in your day-to-day life. Y'all, Zacchaeus was the leader of the tax collectors. He was a politician. He had a Twitter handle that people loved to tear down, right? He had bumper stickers made against him, okay? I don't know which side. Maybe they were lucky enough not to have just two sides. Maybe there were multiple sides that hated Zacchaeus. But people had t-shirts that said, "Down with Zacchaeus," all right? I want you to be thinking about those people too. I don't know if you've noticed. It's an election year. I sure have. I want to throw my phone into the sea, because I keep getting texted by very important people. I don't think it's them personally that are texting me, but I keep telling them to stop. I want us to be thinking about these people, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. In the biz, we call that a cliffhanger. Maybe you're everyone today. Maybe that's your character today, or maybe you're Zacchaeus walking in here today. Maybe you're walking in here today with the perspective of Zacchaeus, thinking that you are your worst mistakes. Maybe you're walking in here today cataloging all the ways you've cheated, that you've lied, that you've made life more difficult for other people, maybe that's what you're doing today. I want you to hear something. It is not holy work to pretend that we are our worst mistakes. It is not holy work to pretend that we are our worst mistakes. You see, that's who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus knew that he was an outcast, had to have seen himself as an outcast. You know, we, in our community, we are not nearly as communal as Jericho was for Zacchaeus, right? I might see you at Publix, right? I might see you at Sun and Fun. I might bump into you here and there, but in Zacchaeus' time, his wife had to go and get water from the well and see the dirty looks that she got. Zacchaeus sent his kids to the local temple school, and they got picked on because of who their father was. Zacchaeus walked through the market and saw people all of a sudden look away and become distracted as to not make eye contact with him. He was isolated. He knew that the only way people saw him was by his worst mistakes. But friends, we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. This story, I'm sure you know exactly where I'm going. This story always makes me think of the Lakeland Christmas Parade. You didn't see that coming, did you? The Lakeland Christmas Parade. I don't know if you're, you know, new to town, if you've never been. The Lakeland Christmas Parade, it is a very big deal. We learned that as soon as we moved here in 2021. It is a very big deal. People want to see it. I have some photos to show you. People believe in this so much that they go out the night before and they put their chairs out so that they can see people walk slowly. I don't like parades. All right, confession. I don't get it. So they walked. Yay! I don't. But anyways, I digress. Please don't think too less of me. But people love the Christmas parade so much, they go out the night before and they put their chairs out and they tie them down, right? Because no one wants to come back the next day and find that they need to buy a new camp chair, right? And so they put this person tied it down with a piece of, I assume is masking tape. It's not very secure at all. The Clark family is definitely missing a few chairs this morning. But you do that so that you can get a good seat. Because the only thing worse than a parade, again, I don't like parades, is not being able to see a parade. Being at the parade and not seeing it. There's a thing that happens when you're over 6 feet tall. You develop a sixth sense, which is being able to feel short people behind you. If I were to ever be at a parade, I'll be there against my will. But have I told you I don't like parades? If you ever see me there and a shorter person comes up behind me, I get this feeling, little eyes looking at my shoulder blades, right? And I move ever so slightly because I don't like being in the way. It's one of my greatest fears. I don't like it. And so I move out of the way so that they can see people walking slowly. But if you're ever at a concert with me and you're behind me, well, you should have gotten here earlier. I'm so sorry, right? I can feel your beady little eyes on my back. I'm not moving. I got a great view. But that's what happens when you're a little bit taller. Friends, the reason why we're talking about the Christmas parade, even though it's April, the reason why I'm confessing that I'm not good to stand behind at concerts is because no one was saving a chair for Zacchaeus. The first bit of hospitality we experienced here in this city was having friends say, hey, we're going to the parade. Give us your camp chair. We'll save you a spot. We said no. But that was love. That was care. That was hospitality. You see, Zacchaeus walked into a crowd to see Jesus walk by. Everyone knew that he couldn't see, and no one cared. They felt his eyes on their shoulder blades and moved a little bit more like it was me at a concert to make sure he couldn't see it. And when they saw a grown man climb a sycamore tree, they didn't think, maybe I should give him a boost. Maybe I should help him. Maybe I should give him a spot in front of me. No, what they said was, I'm so glad he looks that ridiculous. No one was saving Zacchaeus a chair. But what happens when Jesus shows up? Well, we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. Our last character, Jesus. You see, friends, Jesus has a habit of going unexpected places at unexpected times. Jesus shows up for Zacchaeus and shows up in a real way. shows up not just in the crowd, in the little parade, seeing Zacchaeus looking down from a sycamore tree, but then says to Zacchaeus, great news, buddy, we're having lunch, and you get to cook, right? He says, come on down, we're going to your house, and you're hosting me. Now, my mother would tell me that this was rude. I was told very early, my friend had a Sega Genesis in his basement, and I invited myself over to his house a lot because I wanted to play Mortal Kombat. I was told very early on, you're not allowed to do that. So Jesus, breaking a social faux pas, was doing this for a very specific reason. You see, when you hosted a rabbi, not only were you having a friend over, but you were being lauded by that rabbi. You were being propped up. You were being boosted socially because the rabbi was not only saying, this guy makes a great brisket, he was also saying, this is someone that I support, someone that I love, someone that I agree with. It was signing on, it was co-signing how this person lived. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and maybe it's because Jesus had a reputation for changing lives. At this point in the story, at this point in the gospel, Jesus has already done a lot of miraculous things. He's healed a blind person. He's changed lives in really miraculous ways. Maybe Zacchaeus wanted to see if even his life could be changed. Maybe, Zacchaeus wanted to feel like a person again. He didn't want to feel like his bank account. He didn't want to feel like his social standing. He wanted to feel like a son of Abraham. You see, friends, when we experience Christ, we reconnect with how our lives should be. Experiencing Christ in your life means that you reconnect with how things were supposed to be, reconnecting with how Christ made us to be. And this happens because we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. Let's look at what Christ really did here. Christ saw the whole possibility of Zacchaeus. One of the commentaries I read this week said that, it was a miracle that Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, right? No one had name tags on like I do here today. But I think the real miracle, friends, is Zacchaeus looked at a chief tax collector stuck in a tree and saw possibility. He saw all the possibility of who Zacchaeus could have been and could one day be, not the story that everyone was telling. And what happened? Well, lives were forever changed. Lives were forever changed. Change. Friends, imagine, if you will, that tomorrow when the mail comes, you receive a check from the tax collector, from the IRS, and it is every penny of the taxes you have paid in your whole life. Whoa, yeah. Friends, things would be different. I love my Honda Civic, but I would not be driving it any longer, I tell you that much. And things would be very different in our community, in our neighborhood, right? Now imagine if you took that figure and quadrupled it, friends, things would change a lot more. I'd be driving an airplane to church every Sunday. It would be very different for me. That's what happened in Jericho. Everyone that got cheated not only got what they were cheated out of, but they got 4x what they were cheated out of. This generosity changed the social makeup of a community. Lives were forever changed. People got off of food stamps. People got out of rentals. They bought their first home. This changed everything. And it's all because worlds shift when we choose to see the whole person. When we choose to see the whole person, the whole world shifts. And it happened because we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have eyes to see. I've written down a name. I want you to pull that out now. Maybe you haven't written it down because they're here, but I want you to be thinking about this name, okay? Here's your action for the week. I give you homework every week because I know you're only here because you want to see your life change a little bit. You want to look a little bit more like Jesus, and I think this will help. I want you to pick your Zacchaeus, whoever they may be, and pray that they seek Christ. Pray that they find a sycamore tree to climb up to see Jesus better. Pray that they move around in their lives, change things so that they can see Jesus more clearly. And here's your next action step. This one might be even more difficult than praying for them. I want you to choose to see their potential. Look at them with the eyes of Jesus. Not the stories that everyone knows, but the potential of who they could be. And then your last bit of homework for this week. I want you to pray that Christ redeems them, not so that they can make your life easier. Pray that Christ redeems them, not so that what you want ends up happening. No. Pray that Christ redeems them so that they might experience life and life unto the fullest. Pray that they experience Christ so that they might feel like a whole person again. Pray that they might experience Christ, encounter Christ, so that they can begin to see that they are not their worst mistakes, that they are who God sees them to be. And friends, we serve a God who sees all the people. May we have the eyes to see. Worlds shift when we see the whole person. Let it begin with us. Let's pray together. All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.